The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Joined now by New York Red Bulls head coach Jesse March. Jesse, welcome to Dynamo All Access.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Jesse, a busy week for the Red Bulls and yourself. A tough defeat at Seattle. Scored the first goal, and then Seattle, as they do so well at home, they come from behind for a late win. You have to travel back to New York, and then you're coming to Houston tomorrow for a big Friday night game. Obviously a great start to the season. You're still right there near the top of the Eastern Conference standings. What do you make of this season so far, 12 games in for the Red Bulls?
It's been a fairly good start for us. We've hit a little bit of a rough patch in terms of results recently, but we still feel like we've played pretty well and have probably deserved more than we've earned. But in the end, it's still early in the season, and the fact that we're playing well and have some consistency is a good sign, and now we just need to turn it into more wins and more points.
Yeah, is that the case in MLS? It seems like it a little bit to me, where you might start out of the gates where you're the last unbeaten team in MLS and you're hearing all the praise, and then you have a bit of a rough patch where you win 1-5. Has the product on the field been that much different for your team, or is it just a matter of sometimes you catch the breaks and sometimes you don't?
I don't think the product has been that much different. I think our competition has been tough this year. We've had played a lot of good teams at the start of the season, but you know, we also haven't made quite as many plays in the attacking part of the field, which has meant that we've either given up goals or been chasing games or haven't been able to build on leads. So, you know, it's just where we are right now, but I think we're still focused on continuing to have an identity and play the way we want to play, and we know in the end that will lead us to more victories. So not been an easy stretch, but we just got to keep going.
Red Bulls head coach Jesse March joining us on Dynamo All Access. The Red Bulls and the Dynamo Friday night, 8 o'clock at BBVA Compass Stadium. Very interesting offseason for the Red Bulls. You're, of course, named head coach about January 7th under Ali Curtis, and a very interesting offseason in terms of the moves you made. I thought it was very refreshing for so many fans with it was Thierry Henry and Bradley Wright Phillips, and, you know, for so long a star-driven team, and now a midfield trio with Dax McCarty, Felipe coming in from Montreal, then Sasha Kljestan, who you know very well, playmakers, and then Bradley Wright Phillips, maybe a bit of a chip on his shoulder after some of the comments from Thierry Henry last year, but backing up his 27-goal season. How confident were you in this group in carrying the load offensively this season?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely like our group. Bringing in Felipe and Sasha has helped bolster our midfield. We think that's been a big strength of our team so far this year. And there's been a shift within the organization away from superstars and more toward team ethic. And, you know, it's been an enjoyable process. I think that the players here have been hungry for that kind of approach. And, you know, I don't think it's necessarily better than what's been done in the past. It's just different. And the goal, the end goal will still be the same. You know, we want to be the best team in the league, and we want to be the best club in the league, and we want to win a championship. So we're early in the process, but there's been a lot of positive signs from a lot of different angles. And I certainly feel very fortunate to hold this position and to be the coach of this team. And you know, I'm hopeful that I can help help this team get over the hump and eventually find its way towards the championship.
Jesse Marsh, our guest. Jesse, Sasha Kleshchen, a guy you know very well. You guys were teammates at Chivas USA your final 4 years as a player. Then you coached him at various times at the national team when you're an assistant for Bob Bradley. How much of a priority was this when you were hired, making that allocation order happen and acquiring him? Was this a move in conjunction with Ali Curtis and a player that you knew when you got the job that if you could get him, he'd be a big part of the team?
Yeah, Ali and I talked early on about some initial targets in our player pool, and we felt that we needed to make some improvements and find some new players and some fresh blood to bring in. When I talked to Ali about Sasha and the kind of, more even the kind of person he is than the kind of player, I think that he's been understood that was the kind of guy that we felt would fit into the future of what the identity of this team and this organization was going to be. We've been really happy with Sasha. He's met every kind of goal or standard that we thought that he was going to set, and I think he's even surpassed it in many ways already. Now it's just about how good can he be and how much can he really lead this team to be as good as we all hope it can be.
How would you describe him in a scouting report? Obviously, he has over 40 caps for the national team, but I think playing in Belgium, a lot of national team fans couldn't watch him. He was obviously in the Champions League and Europa League with Anderlecht, a nice five-year run there. But how would you describe him as a player?
Yeah, I think he's become a very intelligent player who's good with his feet. He's good on the move. He's good in tight spaces, and he's got a real soccer brain. He sees things quickly. He can evaluate the game as it's happening. He thinks on his feet. So he's the kind of guy that makes everyone around him better. And for me, the thing that I've really enjoyed now working with him again is to see how much he's grown in terms of defensive awareness and defensive responsibility since I knew him in our Chivas days. So I think the 5 years that he spent in Belgium were very good for him. He was very successful there. The club and the fans really, I think, appreciated the kind of player he became there. And I know it wasn't easy for them to let him go, but he also felt like it was time to come back here and be part of a new project.
Jesse Marsh, our guest on Dynamo All Access. Jesse, a big one Friday night. The Dynamo heading into a little bit of a break from MLS play. And the two teams tied on points, of course, in different conferences, but some good battles in the postseason over the years. What do you expect from the Houston Dynamo on Friday night? Another manager in his first year as a head coach with his club. Of course, you've been in MLS before with Montreal. But what have you seen from the Houston Dynamo over their first 14 games this season?
Yeah, I think Owen Coyle has done a good job of establishing what a competitive team is all about. And so when you see his team play, they're organized, they're committed to each other, they're very competitive on the field. They've maintained their identity of being good on set pieces, which is something that when you have Brad Davis, I think you're always lucky to have a guy on the field that can put the ball where it needs to be and give some attacking targets the chance to go up and find it. So they've maintained that identity. And we know we're in for a really tough battle and a tough place to play, and it's going to be hot. So all these factors make it a really tough game for us.
Matt Jordan, of course, the general manager, brought to the Dynamo in November shortly after last season. Of course, you know him from your days with the Montreal Impact. And how about your time with Matt and what he's done here, bringing a lot of young talent, especially from South America, most recently Mauro Manotas, the 19-year-old who played with the Colombian U-20 national team?
Yeah, first and foremost, I think Matt is a good person. I got to know him and his family really well in Montreal. He played a big part in bringing me to Montreal, and, I was happy for him to see, I was happy to see him get this kind of opportunity because I think, he's earned the chance to help lead a club based on his work that he did in Montreal. And so far, I think a lot of the acquisitions that he's made, have really bolstered this team. And I think the combination of what him, Chris Canetti and Owen Coyle have done has meant that the transition to a new era for the Houston Dynamo has started out in a really good way.
Jesse Marsh, our guest. Now, one of the toughest things I think for any manager to deal with is a lot of movement in that back line. You've had to deal with that this year with Miazga constantly called up to the U-20s and various injuries and suspension. Looks like you'll be out with a center back this weekend, Damien Perinelli, your French center back, out due to yellow card accumulation. How has that been for you this season with a lot of youth in there with Chris Duvall? Kemar Lawrence seems to have been a very big-time player coming over from Jamaica. But what about that back line and all the different players you've had to use back there?
Yeah, it's been a big challenge. We've had injuries and call-ups, and Ronald Zubar hasn't even really gotten himself going yet. So it's meant that we've played a lot of different combinations along the back line. But it's the silver lining in it is that we've had a lot of guys tested early, and now we've implemented a new system. We've asked the defenders to take on a certain identity and understand roles. And, you know, we've still been a fairly good defensive team because of the fact that they're organized, they understand what their roles are, and they're good players. So we haven't made excuses. It hasn't been easy. But, you know, the other factor that I think you need to include is anytime you're a defender and you have a goalie like Luis Robles behind you, it means that you have confidence to go on the field. And if you do make a mistake, you feel like that your goalie can always bail you out. So, you know, that part hasn't been easy. But again, I look at the silver lining as we've got a lot of guys with good experience and good minutes now this year. And once we get fully healthy and get things rolling, if we ever need to call on anybody in the future for emergency situations, they should be ready to go.
You mentioned Robles. I've always been impressed with him. He always has a good save or two and seems to be emerging as one of the team leaders. Dax McCarty, one of the most longest tenured players. But from everything I've read, it seems like Robles has really emerged with the departures of Cahill and Henri. You know, he's kind of backed the organization, yourself and Ali Curtis at the town hall meeting. What about Robles and his presence inside that locker room?
Yeah, Luis is a steady guy, and he's a smart guy. And, you know, it's partly his play on the field, but it's partly the man that he is. And I think getting to know him, for me, has been really enjoyable. I think he's very mature. I think he's very thoughtful. And, you know, his quiet presence, I think, within our team has been very strong and has made us stronger as a group. So he doesn't speak often, but when he does, he thinks about what he says and the players listen to him. So, you know, and again, you have to do both. You have to be able to say poignant things within the team that matter, and you have to back it up by playing well and showing that you're a reliable guy and a reliable player. So on both levels, he's been fantastic, and it's meant that he's really established himself in our team as a leader.
Jesse Marsh, our guest. Bradley Wright Phillips, 27 goals last year. I think it's the life of a striker. You score 27 goals. People say, oh, it was all Thierry Henry. I don't think Chris Wondolowski ever got enough credit for his 27-goal season. That amount in any league, no matter who you have with you, is an amazing number. He's backed it up this year after getting the designated player contract, 5 goals, 3 assists. What are your takeaways from working with Bradley Wright Phillips and him sort of quieting the doubters this year after some of the comments from Thierry Henry last season about how he might have should have had 40 goals?
Yeah, Bradley, you know, my first conversation with him was to say that, first of all, I didn't think that dialogue was fair to him, because any player that scores 30 goals in a season could have scored 60. It's not like you score every chance, but it's not about the chances you miss. It's about the chances you score. And as a forward, you have to have a short memory. You have to now be ready to pounce on plays, and you have to be ready to take advantage of any situation. I think Bradley's done that really well. And the most enjoyable thing about Bradley is he's humble, he's hardworking, he cares about the team, he cares more about winning than he does scoring goals. So I think that if we won the championship and he scored no goals, he'd be a happy man. So you know, that's been fun to see a big-time striker like him have a very humble approach and be very team-oriented, and I think that's made us stronger, too. This group has really come together in a good way, and it's because they all believe in each other, and they believe in the process of becoming a real team, and it's made it enjoyable for me to be the manager.
Last one for you, Jesse. Being a former midfielder, I bet you're looking forward to Friday night's midfield battle. Should be very interesting. I think a lot of experience on both teams. A lot has been made about the midfield trio for the Red Bulls with Felipe, Dax McCarty, and Sasha Kljestan. Dynamo, a lot of experience on their own end with Boniek Garcia, two-time World Cup veteran on one side, Brad Davis on the left, and then Ricardo Clark And Luis Garrido is only 24, but he's played in a lot of big games. What are you expecting from the midfield battle on Friday night at BBVA Compass Stadium?
Yeah, I think you're right that Houston does have a very good midfield. I'm very familiar with Rico Clark and Brad Davis. I think very highly of them as players. They're both competitors. They're both winners. They're sharp on the ball. They've grown so much in their careers. I knew them both when they were young and played against them when they were young. And now to see where they are now and how they've established themselves and played in World Cups, it's nice to see them do so well with their careers. And then I think Boniek Garcia is one of the most underrated players in the league. I think he's a fantastic player. And Garino's really starting to establish himself as a reliable deep midfielder and a guy who's smart and clever and sharp and hard to play against. So, yeah, I think that the battle of the midfield is going to be a good one. And, we certainly look forward to that challenge and know it's not going to be easy.
Well, Jesse, really appreciate your time. Four Eastern Conference teams in action right now. No score, so we'll let you get back to some scouting. But really appreciate you making time for us, and best of luck on Friday night.
All right, thanks a lot.
That's Jesse March, the head coach of the New York Red Bulls, will be at BBVA Compass Stadium against the Dynamo on Friday night. Thanks to Jesse March for his time. Next up, we have a half hour with Gustavo Rangel. He does Dynamo television in Spanish on Telemundo Houston. Called the game at Yankee Stadium on Saturday. He also is the editor of La Prensa de Houston. What a great profile. Newest Dynamo forward, Mauro Menotes. He is in studio next, joining us until 9 o'clock. You give us a call at 713-439-1560, 713-439-1560. He knows the Dynamo. He joins us next here on Dynamo All Access.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building, overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Dynamo All Access. Matt Peterson filling in for Glenn, who is in Vancouver, set for the Women's World Cup, which begins Saturday. Delighted to welcome to the studio Gustavo Rangel. He's the editor of La Prensa de Houston, great Spanish language publication. He also does Dynamo games on Telemundo Houston, including last Saturday's game against Yankee Stadium. Gustavo, welcome.
Hi, Matt. Thank you for having me. I really love coming on.
We got to have you on more often. Wish you had you on for the whole 2 hours, but you got some family obligations. So let's go right to that game Saturday, the 1-1 draw. You called it for Telexitos. Your thoughts on that game and just the Dynamo season as a whole?
It was so unfortunate that you came away with a tie. I think that's a game that you should have won. You know, it was there. But it was good to see the progress, especially we're talking about it off air about on the back line, just how well Raul Rodriguez has, you know, fallen into that spot on the right side. And I still don't understand, and I'm going to ask DeMarcus, why is he retiring? You know what I mean? He still seems to have a lot of gas. And then Tyler, what can you say about him? I mean, just, you know, the season he's having, it's amazing. It's kind of like a movie script. You know what I mean. I mean, especially we know his story. You know, all the time he had to wait behind Pat, behind Tally, the issues, personal issues off field, and just everything that he has overcome to now today be one of the top goalies in this league. And I'm pretty sure Jurgen Klinsmann won't be far behind. You know, a call up to the national team. And to see the three Hondurans this time together, it was interesting, and to see Alex Lopez getting better with every game, Luis also playing better, Garrido and Boniek starting to come into his own. So it was great, and to see Will, and to see Will play with such a sense of urgency, and Giles, you know, he's just having also a phenomenal season. So I think it's coming along.
Gustavo Rangel's our guest, and I agree with you. I think everyone on that team has said Owen is not messing around. You know, I think under Dominic Kinnear, the squad wasn't as deep. It was 25 players last year, and, you know, Matt Jordan and Owen have brought in a deeper team. So you have players like Raul Rodriguez who can make Kofi Sarkodie have some competition. You have some quality center backs waiting on the bench. You have guys in the midfield like Boniek Garcia, who did not start games. Luis Garrido did not start games. Nathan Sturgis, coming back from a shoulder, he's out of depth. And then Will Bruin, as you said, did not score his first six games of this year. He's been an almost automatic starter since his rookie season. and all of a sudden gets a chance against DC United, now 5 goals in his last 7 games. So almost everyone on this team has really been challenged at some point or other and lost their position.
Yeah, and I think that's great. I think when you have that competition internally, it brings out the best in the players. We hear the cliche, right? They always say, oh, we work hard to push each other. But I think, you know, this is more than a cliche. This is really happening in the Dynamo right now, that everybody has to fight for their spot and for the minutes that they're going to play.
Gustavo Rangel, our guest. Of course, the Dynamo adding a lot of Latin American talent. Mauro Minotas, the most recent. He came to town on Sunday, trained on Monday, and Gustavo has a long feature on him in tomorrow's print edition of La Prensa de Houston. I talked to Mauro in my English. You talked to him in his native tongue. What were your impressions of the young 19-year-old Colombian?
I think it's a guy that knows what he wants. He could have gone to Europe. He had some offers. He maybe could have gone to another team in the MLS. But I think he was presented with a project here in Houston, and he understood that it was the best for him, for what he's looking to become. I mean, he has ambitions. His ambitions are to play in Europe one day, you know, to move on, you know, from this league. But he's going to do it a step at a time. He's not going to, you know, try to run. You know, he's going to walk. He's going to take his time. And he seems like a kid that, you know, maybe got punched in the gut because, you know, he didn't go to the World Cup. But he seems to has somehow, you know, put that in the past already. He understands this is a new stage in his career, and he's going to make the most of it. You know, there's some players. I don't know. We've done this a long time, and there's some players that you meet for the first time, and you kind of see it in their eyes. You kind of see, you know, if they're really coming with that hunger, right? And you can see it. You can see it in his eyes. You can see that hunger in his eyes. You could tell when he was, you know, because he was doing some drills on the side, but he was constantly looking, you know, what Owen Cole was doing with the starters, what he was doing with the team. So you could sense that he's going to come here and he's going to battle. He's going to battle to get into that starting 11.
Gustavo Rangel, our guest. He does Dynamo TV for Telemundo Houston. I agree with that. There's a look to certain players. I sensed he's 19, but he doesn't want to waste 1 month, 1 year of his career. He wants to do what he can for the Dynamo, score as many goals as he can, play as much as he can. If it leads to Europe, great. You know, I think we're constantly faced with this challenge in the United States. Some players talk about going to Europe, and it seems a little bit off. It's almost like, are you too good for MLS? And they're a little bit too lofty of expectations. Other players, you say, I don't really mind that goal because it's realistic. Mauro Minotas was playing in the Colombian First Division at age 18. Mm-hmm. He just missed the Colombian U-20 World Cup. I think that goal for him is realistic, and it doesn't come across like he is degrading MLS by saying...
Yeah, no, because he made it clear. He's like, that's the goal. You know, it's not the immediate goal, and it's not, you know, he clearly stated that this is a very important stage in his career, the Dynamo. It's very important. That's why he came here. Like I say, he could have gone in other directions, but he came here because of the facilities, the coaching, the city. It was a package. He didn't make the decision based necessarily on money. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
He made it very clear that this was the right place, the right conditions for him now, you know, and we'll see what comes later. You know?
Gustavo, you watched him train on Monday. You've seen him play in those U-20 South American Championship games. What have you seen from him as a player?
He's one of those players that's very comfortable in the area, in the big area. He also plays well on the wings. He reminds me a little bit of Juan Pablo Angel. You know, he's in the goals that I've seen. He mentions it. I'm soy muy tranquilo. You know, I'm very calm. You know, when it's time to finish, and I think that those are the most lethal strikers, the ones that are calm at the moment where they got to finish, you know, where they got to finish a play. And he has that quality. He has that quality, and he's a great header too. So, you know, I think he has all the conditions. You know, he's a young player. He's going to learn. And, I mean, he already made his mark in First Division, you know, with a small team. I mean, he comes from an area, Sabana Larga, Colombia, which is in the Atlantic area. It's called La Zona Atlántico. And his promoter was talking to us about how that area is very well known for producing great strikers. And for some, he says, we don't know why. We don't know if it's in the water or what, you know. But for some reason, the that area, you know, always produces great striker. And hopefully is the case for Manotas, too.
And another thing he mentioned was that he got endorsements on MLS from other Colombian players. Freddie Montero thrived in Seattle. He's now playing in Portugal. He grew up in a neighboring town. Fabian Castillo, he said the Colombian community is like a family, and they look out for each other. So I think that's another good sign for MLS and its growth that past Colombians like Angel, like Oscar Pareja, will say good things about the league.
Yeah, definitely. Baca, for example, he's also from that area. You know, he's playing in Europe. And I think right now the market, just the Colombian market after that World Cup, you know, that great showing in Brazil, that market just is booming. It's booming right now, and people are looking for talented players because they're there, you know, because it's evident that they're there, not only on the first team, but we've seen it on the youth team. So, you know, it was good that the Dynamo went over there looking for someone, and they found this guy.
Gustavo, you have a good pulse to the Latin community, working with Telemundo and working with La Prensa. What do you think about the Latin American Dynamo fan, or just the soccer fan in Houston, and what they think of the Dynamo right now with all these moves made to acquire some Latin American talent, including Cubo Torres, Lionel Miranda, Raul Rodriguez, now Manotas? Is it making waves at all? Are people noticing what the Dynamo are doing?
Well, the Honduran community, definitely. You see it in the stands. You know, you see the shirts. You know, the national team shirts from Honduras. The Central Americans, I feel that this is how I feel and this is how I perceive it, are very close to the Dynamo. Not necessarily because of Bonier, Garrido, and Lopez. Just for some reason, that just happened at the beginning of the start of the franchise. The Central American community really got close to the Dynamo, and I think it's going to be huge. You know, when Cubo gets here, you know, his contribution. I think it'll be kind of an impact because it's a little harder to get the Mexican fan, and it was unfortunate. For example, Landin, you know, didn't work out when he came here. But we know Cubo's quality, and you know, and they know he's a national team player. So I think it's a new era. It's a different era, the one we're going through. And you can sense it. You can sense the Hispanic community paying more attention because they see themselves reflected in the team now more. You know, it wasn't, you know, Dominique didn't necessarily design it to be that way. The players that he had, those were the guys he believed in, and he had great success with them. So it's not a pointing finger kind of situation. It's simply been given that way now, where you're having more Hispanic players, and it doesn't hurt, you know. But I don't think it's completely necessary to be the definition of the team, to be Hispanic, to get the Hispanic fan. I think the Houstonian fan, the fan that really cares for the Dynamo, is going to be there with the Dynamo. It doesn't matter who's on the field. You see what I'm saying? But it doesn't hurt. You know, it doesn't hurt that the Hispanic community, you know, sees some of their players, you know, wearing that orange jersey.
It's interesting. We had a great presentation from the league office. There's a sort of Hispanic marketing expert. And she talked a lot about the difference between the Mexican fan and the Central American fan. One of those is, Mexican soccer is so available here.
Yeah, exactly.
It's easier to Mexicans to stay connected to their Chivas or Santos Laguna, whereas Olympia games aren't on TV.
Right.
FAS games aren't on TV. Araba Unido aren't outside of the Champions League. So for the Central American that lives in Houston, they can't keep track of the Honduran League and Guatemalan like the Mexican League fan is. So they almost have to support MLS or follow MLS if they want to watch a league that – has players featuring their countrymen.
Yeah, and the Hispanic community also has taken a turn. You know, as the last census was impressive as far as the number of Hispanics, and you know, you have the second generation, the third generation Hispanic. So those Hispanics are different than the first generation. So I mean, I think if the success of MLS, you know, does have to do with how the Hispanic community eventually will, you know, finish being a big part of MLS. But I think it's going to be a natural fit. You know, you see what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. the father that has two sons, you know, here born in the United States, those guys are going to naturally, you know, become fans of MLS because, you know, the national team, because everything's connected. And that's why I say there's no going back. The MLS, you know, is here to stay and is here to grow. And it's going to happen. It's a matter of time, you know.
And I think you'll see more and more of the Dynamo catering to that Latin American audience. Little things in the stadium, music, food offerings. and other things. So exciting times around the Dynamo. We'll take a break. We'll have one more segment with Gustavo Rangel, taking it until 9 o'clock Central Time. Feel free to call in 713-439-1560. One of the most knowledgeable soccer men in Houston, Gustavo Rangel. He's the editor of La Prensa de Houston, and he does Dynamo games on TV for Telemundo. He is back with us right after this break on Dynamo All Access. Matt Peterson filling in for Glenn with Gustavo Rangel of La Prensa de Houston and Telemundo. All right, Gustavo, Saturday, it's the Champions League final. Barcelona going for the treble and the 25th trophy for Xavi. And then it's Juventus looking for their first European Cup since 1995. What do you expect from the game?
A great game, definitely. I think Barcelona's the favorite. I mean, you know, man for man, they seem to have a better roster. Not only the starting 11, but in depth, you know, they seem to have a better roster. But at the same time, Juventus, I mean, that's the foundation of the national team right now, you know, and we've seen how the Italians are, you know, they're so tough, and they live for these kind of games, you know, and I mean, look what happened in 2006, you know, they started horribly in the World Cup and ended up winning it, you know, in Germany, so I mean, when you have that, you know, when you have that fight, and you know, I mean, they have talented players. I mean, Carlos Tevez, I mean, you can't take anything away from him. But I think the worst thing that Barcelona can do is, you know, underestimate, you know, Juventus for a little bit. If they do that, they're in trouble. But I think if you know, the quality players, Neymar, Messi, you know, Iniesta play to their level, I think Barcelona will take it.
Yeah, I think it's a great swan song for Xavi. He wasn't really accepted by the Barcelona fans when he came up. He was living in the shadow of Guardiola, and then he finally convinced them he was their player, then a captain, an amazing career. Some call him the closer now because he comes off the bench, and who better to protect a lead than that guy in the middle? One of my favorite players of all time, and a last hurrah for him before he goes to Qatar.
Yeah, if you describe a player and you describe finesse, you know, that's him, you know, he's silk, you know, he's so smooth. He's, you know, his presence, his timing, his creativity, just, you know, it just defines, you know, the elegance of a soccer player. I mean, that's what he is. He's so elegant, you know, it's like a runway, you know, and then seeing a beautiful model, you know, walking on a runway, you know, seeing Xavi play on the field is like that, just pure beauty, you know, and we're lucky that we got to see it, you know, we're lucky that we got to see it. I think when I think of players that I got to see, you know, I think of Maradona, I think of Michael Jordan, I think of Tom Brady, you know, Peyton Manning, LeBron James, and Xavi, you know, how lucky can you get, you know, to see that type of athlete, you know, perform the way they perform.
Sepp Blatter or Mexico? We have one more time, one segment for one more discussion. What do you want to talk about? Mexico this summer or Sepp Blatter?
I think Blatter. I think that's obviously the story, and it's just evolving constantly. But it is very clear that there's got to be some major changes in FIFA overall. I think you really almost have to like break it down completely and start, you know, basically from zero, because it's totally evident that every inch of that organization is basically, you know, corrupt. It's, you know, it's you know, there's bacteria everywhere, and you just got to cleanse it. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I think if there's any better situation to use this is this one. No one's above the game, and there will never be. You know, not the best players, not the best coaches, not the best the teams, no, not the best presidents or whatever. No one's above the game. No one's going to destroy this game. No one's going to do it. It's just sad to see, you know, the potential that it has to be great, you know, to be a clean game and to have so many dirty people running it. That's the sad part of it. But this game will never die. It's not going to die. FIFA will die first before soccer dies, you know, and I think I hope that, you know, whatever changes do come, that is under someone that's intelligent, that cares for the game, and that is willing to really make some really hard decisions, unselfish decisions, because I think a lot of what happened up to then to now has been because of selfishness, because they protect their power. You know, the president, the guys that represent each confederation, they protect their power. That's you know, they wrote the rules for that, to protect their power. How can a guy be in power 40 years? You know, that can't happen no more. That cannot happen anymore. And I think the people that need to come and make these changes have to think that way. They cannot be selfish, and they have to make those changes for the better of the game.
Gustavo, we're out of time. Can you do this in 2 weeks?
Of course, yeah. We'll be here. I love coming on, man.
All right. 2 weeks from tonight, Gustavo Rangel in studio longer than for a half hour. For Gustavo Rangel and Glenn Davis, for the opportunity, our producers, Adam Sager and Ryan Locke. Thank you very much. Matt Peterson signing off. We'll talk to you Friday night. This is Dynamo All Access.